Now on the KSRO live line, this book has gotten a lot of press and a lot of interest. The author is Emily Chang. The book is called Brotopia, the Boys Club of Silicon Valley. Emily, thanks so much for being here.
Pat, thank you so much for having me and shining a light on this topic.
Yeah, this has really kind of created a lot of ruckus in some corners of Silicon Valley and a whole lot of support in others. Tell us about the premise of Brotopia.
Well, in my mind, Brotopia sort of perfectly encapsulates this idea of Silicon Valley as a modern utopia where anyone can change the world, anyone can make their own rules if they're a man. But if you're a woman, it's incomparably harder. And that, you know, obviously bears out in the data. Women hold 25% of jobs across the industry. They account for 7% of top investors. And companies that are run by women get just 2% of venture capital funding that goes into startups. In no world is that a utopia or a meritocracy.
Well, why is that? Why is that the reality of it?
Well, I mean, I've written 300 pages about how and why we got here, and there were so many different inputs. You know, in a way, it was a bunch of accidents that sort of stacked on top of each other and led to what we have today. But, you know, one of the most fascinating parts of the book for me was the history. If you go back to the 1940s and 1950s, women actually played vital roles in the computing industry, and they were programming computers for NASA and programming computers for the military. But as the industry started to explode in the 60s and 70s and they were desperate for new talent, they started doing personality tests and aptitude tests to identify good programmers. And they decided that good programmers, quote, don't like people. Well,
that's sort of stereotypically what we think, you know, of the programming nerds.
Exactly. And if you look for people who don't like people, you'll hire far more men than women. That's what the research tells us. And there's also no research to support this idea that people who don't like people are better at this job than people who do, or that men are better at this job than women. But that stereotype was perpetuated for decades and has not only impacted, you know, who we think can make a good computer programmer, but who we think can found the next Facebook or next Microsoft. And so you have investors who are looking for people who look like Mark Zuckerberg and look like Bill Gates. And in fact, that stereotype shuts out half the population.
Well, maybe not in the last week. They're not so much looking for a Zuckerberg clone because he's in a bit of trouble in terms. It seems like Facebook just got too big, just is too large, and there's too much that is unregulated. Well, everything's unregulated for the most part, but given the news of the last 7 days or so, things have really gotten out of control in terms of what they have a handle on in Facebook. I'm still curious. Now, here, I always think of Silicon Valley. Okay, you got a bunch of, at this point, young bucks, but these are, you know, these are millennials or younger. These are people that folks that I think of stereotypically as people with a good education, and they've got a young person's outlook on the world, which I always think of as more enveloping. But that is the opposite of that is true in the tech world.
Well, what's interesting is that Silicon Valley and the tech in general could have become sort of a beacon of inclusion and diversity, you know, founded in the heart of the left-leaning West Coast, many young people with progressive views. But if you look at a company like Facebook, for example, you know, in technical roles, which are the most powerful jobs at the company, women account for 19% of those jobs. And so, you know, I wonder how different the world might be, or how different a company like Facebook might be if women had been in decision-making roles from the very beginning of that company. Maybe Facebook would have done certain things differently. You know, I also believe that the amount of wealth and power that has been amassed in Silicon Valley in such a short span of time by many people who are very young has led to, you know, sort of increasing sense of entitlement and moral exceptionalism that has been, in a way, a barrier to solving the problem. You know, people in Silicon Valley think that they are changing the world and making the world a better place. And because of that, it's been hard to admit that they are also part of the problem or have a lot of hard work to do in this one particular area. You know, but I believe that the people who are changing the world and taking us to Mars and building self-driving cars and connecting the world, they can solve this too. They can hire women and pay them fairly.
Well, that seems like an easy enough concept. I wonder why it's not, you know, holding a lot of weight or carrying a lot of weight at this stage of the game. I mean, we've been led to believe that one of the reasons that more women aren't in tech or in science in those arenas is because they haven't been exposed to it as much. They haven't been nurtured in those areas in school to begin with, and also that really outdated notion that women are just not as good as men in these areas.
It absolutely is outdated, and in fact, it is so outdated. I found the origin of point of it 50 years ago, but unfortunately, this cultural stereotype has become so ingrained, not just in the industry itself, but in movies and television shows, in what teachers and parents, think of what their children are capable of. But my argument is that it was the tech industry that created this stereotype, and now today reinforces it. I interviewed 6 young girls at the end of the book, and it was one of my favorite parts of the entire journey. All of these girls have learned how to code. They're so excited about joining the industry and doing their part to change the world. But they read the news, you know. They know about what happened at Uber and all of the sexual harassment scandals that ultimately led to the ousting of the CEO.
Yeah.
They know that Sheryl Sandberg is the only Sheryl Sandberg and that there are not a lot of women who have achieved that level of prominence in Silicon Valley. And so they are scared. And so in my mind, it's direct evidence that, you know, the tech industry, what people see can directly discourage the young women coming up beneath us. And so we can't simply say, well, women aren't studying this or girls don't want to do computer science. You know, we can't be what we can't see. And so I think the tech industry has a lot of work to do to be what we want people to see, essentially.
In your research for Brotopia, Emily, did you uncover any powers that be in Silicon Valley who are invested in making this change?
There are so many people who are doing good things and trying hard to make a difference. And there are bright spots in the book, and I zero in on some companies like Slack, for example, where the head of the company, who is a white male CEO, who's on his third or fourth company, has said, look, I made a mistake. I didn't do it right before. And now, you know, I am making hiring and promoting women and underrepresented minorities an explicit priority. And every time he tweets about it, they get a spike in inbound interest. And so there are a lot of sort of prescriptive solutions in the last chapter of the book about what companies can do to change. The companies that are run by women, they're 50-50. And so, you know, I do think that having strong female leadership will lead to strong female leadership and can only attract more people of diverse backgrounds. The investment community has a lot of hard work to do. And since the book came out, there's been some incredible movement to pressure founders to commit to diversity when they're taking a check and investors to commit to diversity when founders, you know, say that they can invest. And so, you know, I do see a lot of good things that are moving in the right direction, but we need to make sure that this is not just a moment and really is a movement and a real inflection.
And the thing that's different about this particular business is that you're not talking about what happens within the confines of four walls, as with most businesses. You're talking about a business that bleeds over, you know, this country and the rest of the world in terms of impact and empowerment. So obviously, in terms of getting women more involved in that, that's going to be a much larger issue. It's a very interesting book, Emily. I've heard you speak about it a couple of times. And it's a good one. Brotopia, Breaking Up the Boys Club of Silicon Valley. Thanks for being here, Emily.
Pat, thanks for having me.
All right. That is Emily Chang. She is the author of that book. It's a very interesting read. If you're interested in business or the tech world or equality, all of those things fall under the Brotopia umbrella.